This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. Do you know we are doing a special edition of Real Science Friday? It is Christmas week, and I have been fascinated for years by the Star of Bethlehem. In fact, back in the 1990s, we produced a DVD titled The Planets, Stars, and the Bible. And I was so excited to find out that at the University of Colorado in Boulder, CU on the Boulder campus, there is a program at their planetarium titled The Astronomical Star of Bethlehem. Now, this is big for me. I found out about it. It shows a number of times each Christmas season, and tomorrow morning is going to be the final showing for the year, and that'll be Tuesday, December 20th at 10 in the morning. So we looked into it, and it turns out that Gil Buller is the author of the program, The Astronomical Star of Bethlehem. And what in the world? At CU in Boulder, a Christian program honoring the birth of the creator of the universe as our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what an honor that we have in studio, Gil. Gil, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Well, thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
It's such a thrill. My producer, Will Duffy, happened upon your presentation at the planetarium. It's the Fisk Planetarium, right?
Fisk Planetarium on the campus.
On campus. And CU is Colorado's major university. And
they're seat of liberalism.
Yeah, big time. The People's Republic of Boulder. We have a long history with Boulder CU.
You know the definition of Boulder is just like California.
What's that?
Granola.
Granola.
A lot of fruits and nuts. And rest is all flakes.
And you can't swing a dead cat in Boulder without hitting an evolutionist or an atheist.
Something like that.
So to find out that this program is there in the planetarium, and then that it's not too late for me to bring our boys, Cheryl and I have seven boys, and the three youngest are still homeschooled. So Lord willing, we will be there in the morning to see this live. But
look forward to having you there.
All right. And we'll give more information so others in the audience could join us.
Absolutely.
But let's talk this through, because the Bible says that the Magi from the east saw a star, and then they traveled, and then it came to rest over Bethlehem. Could you tell us, what does the Bible say, and what does this all mean? And then we'll get into the particulars of what astronomy can tell us about the Star of Bethlehem.
Well, the star from the story in Matthew has some rather peculiar behavior. Mm. When does a star ever stand over a place where someone is? Stars do that every night,
right,
if you will.
Right.
But why would one be so unique that it would get attention in Matthew's account like that? Mm-hmm. Well, there's an ancient tradition that says that the wise men saw the star reflected in the water of David's well when they arrived in Bethlehem. Mm. Now, in the program, I demonstrate how this is totally plausible. The event that I highlight as the star that they saw in the east, and then the star that stood over the place where the young child was, happens to be a conjunction of Jupiter and Venus.
Wow.
10 months, 5 days separated. Two conjunctions, the same astronomical phenomenon. The Greek word that Matthew uses is aster. It's much more general than our word star. The word aster refers to almost anything that you see in the sky. It could be a lightning or a strange cloud formation.
And that's where we get, of course, astronomy and that root.
Right.
And even disaster is where we get
disaster.
Right. From the stars, a fear that,
right,
you know, who knows? Comets, asteroids, meteorites, showers.
Comets were always considered omens of evil. Mm. and catastrophe. In fact, the Chinese called them broom stars because they looked at it, as like sweeping out the old order and making way for the new.
And even catastrophe is, is aster in there.
Right.
Okay, so in your presentation, you end up giving a series of dates of conjunctions. And I don't want to get you off on the track that you're on, but I'll just point out one thing. We made this DVD back in the 1990s. We aired it in 80 cities. And there was a date that we highlighted, which was September 14th, 3 BC, with a conjunction of Jupiter and Regulus. And in your presentation, now I was using software that was published in the 1980s, and we confirmed its validity in the 90s. And sure enough, the software you're using today, which is more modern than what I had, gives us the same date for that particular conjunction.
Yes, yes.
Because we're doing what Johann Kepler did, who was the Christian creationist, young earth creationist, who gave us the laws of modern astronomy, the three laws of planetary motion.
He gave us the solar-centric model of the solar system.
Right, with Copernicus and Johann Kepler explaining that the planets move in an ellipse and all that.
Right.
So great. And then he actually began to calculate backwards to determine what was the Star of Bethlehem. So his efforts and your software and my software, it's all based on the same orbital mechanics.
That's
and we
correct.
Could actually know what the night sky looked like to the Magi,
yes,
before they left on their journey and at the time of Christ's birth.
Because of the regularity that God has built into the solar system.
Mm. And as Kepler said, we're thinking God's thoughts after him.
Yes.
Because look at this. The planets move the way God intended them to move, which is also what Isaac Newton said, and that Descartes was wrong when he thought the solar system just formed naturally by a condensing nebula, a gas cloud. And Isaac Newton said, no, gravity would not cause this formation of the planets and
the
sun.
Right. However God did it, he did it.
Right.
And it's got his fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
And the Star of Bethlehem program just is just absolutely littered with God's fingerprints.
Oh, wow.
I highlight a list of nine events
mm-hmm.
that form a mirror symmetrical image. List that's mirror symmetrical.
So in
that
other
it happens
words,
in one calendar year.
In 1 year. So the first thing on the list is
also repeated as the last.
As the last. So Mercury in a conjunction with Regulus. Now, some people, I went to public school. I didn't even know what a conjunction was till I was an adult. So
well, I explain all of that in my program.
Well, I know, but for the audience, and we can't see the beautiful ceiling of the planetarium. Right here, well, we're on radio.
Right.
So what's a conjunction?
Even for all of my audiences, I go through the basic astronomical concepts that we need to, as we go through the study.
Yes.
And I define a conjunction, and that is when a star and a planet or a couple of planets share the same celestial longitude in close proximity.
All right. Now, that's way too complicated for me.
That's
so
when,
in other words, when it looks like they touch.
When they get close together, maybe as far as the moon apart.
Okay.
Anything that close or maybe even a little further apart. Several degrees, when two planets are within several degrees of each other.
When it looks
that's
like
a conjunction.
They're coming together like they are talking to each other
right,
or something.
Right. When they're coming together for a meeting.
Yeah, for a meeting. And by the way, Gil Buller, you are an electrical engineer, right? And
I'm retired.
Your specialty was semiconductors?
Semiconductor modeling.
Well, that's just great.
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Telling the engineers how far they could push the process when they designed chips.
And you retired what year?
2001.
All right, so that's a decade ago.
Yep.
Would you say they've pushed it further since then?
Oh,
it's astounding. Right?
I was glad to retire because I couldn't keep up with technology anymore.
Yeah.
My brain was slowing down.
It's so stunning.
Oh, it is. And since I was a kid, I have been absolutely fascinated with astronomy, just enchanted with planetaria.
Mm.
So you know, I decided after I retired, I was going to study this thing about the Star of Bethlehem. Mm. And it blew my socks off. Absolutely blew my socks off.
Well, New York City's Museum of Nature and Science, they've got a famous planetarium.
Right. Hayden Planetarium?
That's right. Growing up as a kid, we'd go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then more recently, I went to Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis in Kentucky. They have their creation museum. And what a beautiful digital projector, the whole bit. It's just gorgeous. Have you been there?
No, I'd love to go. I heard Jason Lyle speak a couple of years ago.
Dr. Jason Lyle's been on the show. He has his PhD in astrophysics from CU.
Right.
So does he know about your program?
I'm not sure.
Whoa. Well, we're going to have to let him know about it, because what you have come up with here, this mirror image in Hebrew poetry, it's called a parallelism, but it's an inverted parallelism where the first matches the last.
Right.
The next matches the second to the last, and it comes together at the pinnacle at the center.
It's a very similar structure as you see in Psalm 19, because there the first half of the psalm speaks about astronomy. And uses literary terms.
Words about grammar and language.
Right.
Whereas the second half...
talks about literary the Word of God, literary concepts, and uses astronomical terms.
That is just stunning right there. If the audience can put on their thinking caps and realize what Gil Bullard just said, Psalm 19 that talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. The first half of the psalm is about the heavens, astronomy, but it uses literary terms. The second half is about the Word of God, but it uses astronomical terms.
Yes.
That shows the cohesiveness of the psalm.
And if you look in the detailed structure of the outline, it's got that listing of A, B, B, A of structure as well.
It's a form of poetry.
Yes.
Like couplets, where you'll have two lines that sort of make the same point or contrasting points, then two more lines and two more lines. But sometimes if it's an inverted Hebrew parallelism, the first and the last go together. And then the second and the second and the last, and you come to the center.
Right.
And the center could be, for example, the birth of Christ.
Right.
And so you're saying that not only does the Bible contain parallelisms and inverted parallelisms, but so do the motions of the heavens.
Yes. It's God's fingerprints.
I think you're the first person to observe this, Gil, because I've been reading about this. D. James Kennedy did a great job with how God wrote the message of salvation in the stars.
Yes.
Bullinger, E.W. Bullinger, one of my favorite authors, wrote a book called The Witness of the Stars.
Yes. Tremendous. I have the book.
You have the book.
Yes.
Tremendous book. But I have not seen, in 20 years of studying the Star of Bethlehem, I have not seen anyone recognize that there are a series of conjunctions in a single calendar year that are a parallelism in this inverted mirror image like you're pointing out.
I have not seen it in any of the references I have found either.
So this is...
I just decided when I saw some of this going on, I said, well, let's see what's going on before and after.
Yeah.
So I just started looking with my astronomy program. Everything happens in the constellation of Leo except the central event, which occurs in the constellation of Virgo.
In Virgo. In Virgo because it's Virgo, the Virgin.
The Virgin.
And Betula, the three constellations that go with Virgo,
right?
One of them is Coma, the child.
Yes.
And this is ancient.
The desired one.
The desired one. So why would the virgin have a child? Normally a virgin wouldn't have a child.
Right.
But here it is. And Leo the lion, the Bible presents the Messiah as the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion is the king of the animal kingdom. The lion is the king.
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come.
That's Genesis chapter 49, the prophecy by
Jacob over
for Judah, and that the Messiah would come through the tribe of Judah.
Right. And the scepter, who carries the scepter? The king.
The king.
And what star is there right between the front paws of Leo the lion? Regulus.
Regulus.
Melech in Hebrew. The king.
Melech is the king.
In Hebrew.
In Hebrew. And this is Regulus. Of course, the title Regulus,
comes from
even
the Latin.
Today from the Latin, we realize is king.
The royal one.
Yeah, the interregnum.
Right.
Right, the whole. So, and then Jupiter. How about the name Jupiter?
Jupiter in Hebrew is Tzedek.
Tzedek, which means righteousness.
Righteousness. If you put Melek and Tzedek together, you get Melchizedek, king of righteousness.
King of righteousness. And Melchizedek was in the book of Genesis, even though there turns out to be a priestly tribe in Israel from Abraham, the Levitical tribe, the sons of Aaron, there was a greater priesthood, Melchizedek, who was a type of Christ, and his beginnings are of old from everlasting in a sense. And so pointing to Christ, the King of Righteousness, this
and
conjunction.
What did Melchizedek do when he met Abraham? He brought bread and wine.
Bread and wine symbolizing the body
and blood of Christ.
Of Christ, the sacrifice. He came, he was born, he came in the flesh in order to give up his life so that we could be forgiven of our sins.
And Melchizedek served communion to Abraham.
He did. Wow. And so Abraham tied to Melchizedek, showing that the priesthood of Christ is even greater than the Levitical priesthood.
And as part of the Star of Bethlehem program, Tzedek, righteousness, Jupiter, actually forms a circle above throughout the winter and spring of 32 BC. Jupiter draws a circle above Regulus. Mm. I call that righteousness crowning the king.
Wow. Righteousness crowning the king.
And that started in the eastern sky early in the morning, was the first one of those conjunctions of Jupiter and Regulus. Mm-hmm. And then they proceed earlier and earlier through the night, leading the wise men westward toward Jerusalem.
So that what we read in the Bible actually can be shown to have its foundation in real astronomy.
Absolutely.
With the actual movement of the planets against the backdrop of the stars.
Right. The Lord has given us the tools that we can now go back and verify the accuracy of God's word in describing what the star was. Mm. And I think, although it's only my suggestion, I can't prove it rigorously, but as far as we can, this reproduces all of the characteristics that are described by Matthew of the star in the story of the wise men coming to see the young child, Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Now, it's interesting. Matthew uses the word paideon in the Greek, which means young child, whereas Luke uses the word brephos, which means infant.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew is saying that Jesus was a toddler when the wise men came, not an infant in the manger.
Mm. Let me ask you this, Gil. When you have noticed that there's a dozen events, that these conjunctions in this one calendar year, and they form a mirror image, have you attempted to calculate how often do these things happen? What's the likelihood of this?
This list of events that I highlight in my program, just the two Jupiter-Venus conjunctions that are second and second last item in the list, the repetition rate or period interval for that to happen in a period of 10 months, 5 days, that happens only once every 1.2 million years.
Oh, my. So just this, just the B and B prime.
B and B prime.
The second and the second to the last events happening in a calendar year would only happen once every million years.
Right.
And we know that the universe and the earth is young, as described in the Bible. In other words, just those two things happening in a
calendar year happened
only once in history.
And then we've got this mirror image of nine events, four in the beginning and four in the end, around the Virgo configuration that is described in Revelation chapter 12, the great sign in heaven, the woman clothed with the sun, the moon beneath her feet. For all of these to occur in one calendar year and in mirror order, mirror image order, even if you grant that the universe may be 13, 15 billion years old, it would still be a once in the life of the universe.
Wow. Wow. So that the creator of the universe, recognizing that if Adam and Eve sin, he's going to come to earth to provide for our forgiveness if we trust in him, if we humble ourselves, he set up the orbit of the planets to announce his birth at the proper time.
Absolutely.
In the fullness of time,
God sent forth his son, born of a virgin.
Wow. Now, there's a DVD that was produced by Stephen Vidano, which is called The Star of Bethlehem. And I, if I recall, I got a wonderful note from Stephen some time ago thanking us for producing our program on The Star of Bethlehem back in the 90s, which motivated him. So we really have three resources we could recommend to our listeners.
There's another one, a DVD put out by Barry Setterfield, who is an Australian astronomer who is director of the observatory at Grants Pass, Oregon. Mm. He has done a DVD as well on the Star of Bethlehem.
All right, so there's that. There's Stephen Vidano's The Star of Bethlehem that you can get online. From us here at Bob and Yart Live, KGov, KGOV.com, or just call us, 800-8-N-YARTS, 800-836-9278. You could get The Planets, Stars, and the Bible, and that shows you the night sky over Jerusalem. And also, if you're in Colorado tomorrow morning, this is December 20th, Tuesday, at what time, Gail?
10 o'clock in the morning.
10 o'clock is the last showing for the year.
Right.
You've been doing this for 7 years, about four times a year.
Yes.
And this is the last opportunity. It costs a few bucks per person. Kids are only $350, right?
Right.
Adults are $650, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't wait, and I'm not getting a freebie. I'm going to pay because I want to support this program, the Astronomical Star of Bethlehem. So these are all different resources people could use. And then next year, come next year, you're ready. And you could share this DVD with your friends and family. And you could use this information during the year as you tell people about the Lord and the signs in the heavens. And, of course, the scriptures and the prophecies pointing toward the Messiah. So, Gil, you said that when you were young, you were fascinated by this story of a star, of this unusual behavior. Could you describe that a little bit more?
Well, I was wondering, you know, how does a star stand over a place?
And
how does it disappear and then reappear?
Right.
And things like that. And all of it fits together, and I demonstrate how it's so absolutely logical in the program.
Because, in other words,
I see the program as God has given me an opportunity to use the world's equipment to do some pre-evangelism.
Wow.
To get people to thinking the Bible is, even when it sounds way off base and wacko,
right,
it's right on target.
It sounds way off base because I had these same thoughts as a kid that you had, but it didn't impress upon me the importance of resolving it like maybe it did to you until I was an adult.
Well, me either. I didn't take the time to really research it until I retired.
Oh, okay. All right. So we have a similar story.
Right.
But I thought, what does it mean that they saw the star in the east? And then what does it mean when they were there and the star appeared? And I thought, is this a supernatural star that God created and then months later created again? And it didn't seem right because everybody would see it.
Right.
Herod would have known about it. Everybody in Israel would know.
Right.
But these magi, they're also astronomers, which is typical.
And I believe they got information from Daniel.
From Daniel, absolutely.
From Daniel. I bring that out in my program.
Oh, and we mentioned that in our DVD, Planet Stars in the Bible. We mentioned the book of Daniel and a tie-in.
Persian court records that have been excavated indicate that Daniel had a young student named Zoroaster.
Whoa.
He founded the religion that was the state religion of the Parthian Empire, of which the Magoi, or the wise men, were some of the kingmakers in that empire. And being hereditary priests of the religion that Zoroaster founded, they would have undoubtedly had information that had been handed down from Daniel.
And there's again the Aster and Zoroastrianism to this day. And Daniel's crucial role in the history of that part of the world. And then God used him to forecast the coming centuries, four centuries, right, until the coming of the Messiah.
And when Christ rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he expected the Jewish authorities to recognize the day. The day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That psalm refers to Palm Sunday.
Wow.
That was the day the Lord had created.
Wow.
And they didn't recognize him.
And Gil, there is so much evidence for all this. We have just completed in our Sunday night Bible studies a verse-by-verse study of the book of Daniel. And we have that also. Yeah. I know I'm mentioning our materials because that's how we stay online,
right,
and on the air as people get these and they support our radio program. But we have the book of Daniel. People could download it just automatically, audio MP3, or get a CD from us, or a DVD series of the book of Daniel. And boy, do we go into these fascinating prophecies about the coming of the Messiah in print, in writing, and even translated from Hebrew and Aramaic into Greek centuries before Christ. And so the world is filled with evidence for the, yeah, Creator, but now you show that so are the heavens,
right,
filled with evidence.
Yes. Now, I think Daniel, God used Daniel because Daniel had no heirs. Mm. And I think God used Daniel in his fabulous riches, and the gifts of the wise men were his estate that he had put in trust with the Magoi, told them
the
to
Magi.
Keep them in trust,
wow,
until the Messiah came and delivered them to his Messiah. So back 500 years before Christ was born, God was already preparing Jesus' college fund.
So that when the Magi are in the east, they see the conjunction, speaking of the coming king,
yes,
of righteousness, and they head off to Judea because the Hebrew prophet said that in Bethlehem would come the eternal,
right,
one.
Right.
So they get to Bethlehem, and here again is the conjunction telling them that they have arrived at the right place, the,
yes,
right day, the right night, and they find the child Jesus.
Right. Bethlehem was a small town, and once
tiny
the star
town
confirmed it, that they were at the right place,
they looked for the child.
They would have had only a few questions to find, where is this young child?
Wow. Gil Buller, thank you so much. Can't wait to see you tomorrow morning.
Love it.
At the Fisk Planetarium at CU in Boulder. God bless you guys, and our website is kgov.com.
You are invited to join us this Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church to worship God and study His Word. At 9:30, Pastor Bob Enyart's verse-by-verse Bible study will help you to gain new understanding of God's Word. The Bible study is followed by a time of fellowship at 10:30, then join our worship team in praise and worship of our Creator God at 10:50, followed by Pastor Enyart's sermon. Denver Bible Church meets at Two Roads School at the corner of Oak and 72nd Streets in Arvada. Join us this Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and bring your Bible.